You guys, welcome back. 888-659-3727, toll-free number, international toll-free number if you want to call from any place in the world. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I know that most of you guys actually listen to the broadcast, but if you want to watch the show, you can come to theballtruth.com, watch us live. You can see our hair. I mean, it is a kind of a visual – I think it's more of a visual thing. I do know that most people, they download the program. That's the way that it is. I get that. This is a – we live in a world that is a on-demand world. They may not want to be home on a Tuesday night watching the show. They'd rather download it from iTunes. That's great. But I like doing the live broadcast so that we can actually take calls, answer your questions, and, kind of have some interaction with, those of you who are really in need instead of us just having this one-way conversation, which is really what a podcast is. So we're going to keep doing this until we stop getting phone calls. 888-659-3727. Let's see who this is. Hey, you're on the air. Who's this and where are you calling from?
Hey, Spencer. It's actually Dustin from Arkansas. How are you doing,
hey,
man?
Hey, Dustin, man. Hey, How are you? Holy cow.
I'm doing well. I know. Blast from the past.
Dude, I know you're doing well. You have a kid now. It's a whole thing. I mean, you get married. You have a child.
My whole world's kind of changed. So I'm going to apologize in advance, too, because I'm holding the kid in one arm. My wife's taking a shower, and so I'm dealing with that, too. But I wanted the opportunity to call in, man, and just to kind of update you on where I'm at on my hair loss journey and just let you know what's going on.
Well, I'm glad you called, man. We miss you. I mean, for those of you who are new to the broadcast, Destin is an old-time listener. I think you probably were listening back in what, 2008, 2009?
Oh, dude, even before that, man. You realize, I called in when I had turned 18 and the first signs of my hair loss. And when that happened, man, I'm now 30. I just turned 30, but
what?
I've been listening to you since I was 18, yes.
Holy
18.
Cow. Gee, I am fucking old, man. Holy cow.
Oh, that's hilarious.
You remember?
So that was around 2005, then.
I'd have a laser comb in one hand. I'd be talking to you online and having them there, too.
Did I remember? So. Did you? That's right. You were like this before. I remember when you went to college.
That's right, man. Yeah, I had just started college. I started losing my hair freshman year of college. And I was one of the first people to do PRP. And, dude, I'm just like where I'm at right now has been really good. My hair loss is doing really good still. Propecia has helped. I'm on finasteride still, 5 milligram. I do PRP at least once a year. Also, I've been doing some other stuff too, and you know what? It's actually helping. So,
what are you doing?
I know you're one of my Facebook friends too. So, I'm sure you've seen about my mom. She passed last year.
I'm really sorry to hear that, man.
You know what? During that research of just really doing like alternative treatments and health, and I think you were mentioning it before. There's just everybody's on prescription medication and all this stuff, but I started doing this naturalistic, holistic thing and, like, consuming a lot of turmeric, consuming a lot of things like that. And, dude, my hair has, like, benefited from it.
I believe that would help, for sure. There's no doubt in my mind. And, yes, everyone is on some sort of prescription medication, especially when they get to my age. Look, I was at a conference here in Redondo Beach. Really, and I want to thank Dr. Umar, who's an IHRS member, for inviting me to be a part of things. Things are kind of coming full circle where I am no longer the antichrist in the industry. I think that in general, a lot of the doctors, especially the younger guys, are starting to realize the true value of what we bring, what I bring, what Joe brings to the table. Helping them, provide them with the ability to have their kind of a finger on the pulse of what's happening in the consumer's mind and really what they should be doing, what they shouldn't be doing. So instead of looking at us as the enemy now, we kind of looked at as an ally, which is great. But one thing that I did notice is I'm watching everybody age because I've known these guys. Like I was relatively young in the field. I was about your age when I sold my book. So I was relatively young when I started out, and a lot of these guys, you know, they were old timers. They've been around for a while, but now a lot of them are super old. And yep. You know, you just see how people just don't take care of themselves, and they are on a million medications. And I think you're going about life the right way. You know, what I liked about you, you did everything early. You got to school. You did your thing. You met your girl. I remember when you met her.
That's right.
You had her on the
yeah.
You put her on camera.
Is this your like secret long lost son or something?
Might be. Might be. Kind of actually for the show. Absolutely, man. Yeah. He's one of Jesus. When I think about a guy listening to me since he was 18 years old, it just freaks me out.
That's cool.
Yeah,
though.
It's been a good thing though. You know, you've helped me out a lot. I mean, I'm the kind of person, though, just in general, I'm very proactive in general. So when I had first started losing my hair, I almost skipped class all week and said, no, I'm going to figure this crap out. I'm not losing my hair. I'm going to figure it out, and came across you. And since then, it's just been incredible. I mean, you got me in touch with Dr. Greco. I was one of the first patients with PRP. Dude, I'm still getting that treatment, and it's still working. There's so many things that I'm thankful for. I've just been really still doing research every now and then, but my hair loss is stabilized. It's at a really good spot, and because of you, you helped out a lot, man. So I'm very thankful. So yeah, no, I wasn't shy about it. I still talk to people about hair loss, but when I was a college kid, man, you know, when first dealing with this and having new girlfriends or whatever, I said, you know what? They're going to like me for who I am, and I put them on the show immediately. So
yeah.
I was not ashamed of it. So
no, and you know what? And I always admired that about you, and I think it's important. It's an important lesson for the younger guys. I know you're not a big forum guy, which is good, but for the younger guys who are watching the program, who are going to see this podcast, who are on the forum losing their minds, who are so shit scared to use what's available today, and that is what you're using. You're using finasteride. You're going to the right guy for PRP, and you are, you know, you've changed your lifestyle and really focused on doing everything in your ability to improve your health and your way of living. I mean, you are testimony to the fact that you know, these medications work, and it is really possible to not only slow the progression of your hair loss, but in some cases stop it and reverse the progression completely. And you are one of these guys. I see you online. I see your images. I'm like, geez, this guy still has a full head of hair. And you really started early.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Awesome.
No, it's definitely, I'm not have as much as when I first started, but I mean, it's still for over 10 years of maintaining. Sorry about the kid in the background.
That's all right.
But yeah, no, for maintaining and then adding some other things too, like things that I've experimented with that's really positive. Like, they have grape seed extract and DIM. And what that does, though, is it actually still blocks DHT. But sorry, my kid is chasing me.
That's all right. It's cool.
But blocking a DHT with DIM, and it also helps with estrogen, too, because you don't want your estrogen levels to increase. And doing all this research on hormones and just in general about cancer, dude, the diet we're eating and everything. So I decided, since my mom, I mean, that was one of the most devastating things. But I decided that, you know what, I'm going to change my life. I'm completely all going to be on this anti-cancer kit.
How old was your mother when she passed away?
55.
Oh.
It was crazy.
Oh.
She was young. She was beautiful. And it came out of nowhere. Like a week after we found out, I mean, a week after my son was born, her first grandkid finds out it's terminal cancer all over her body, 3 months to live. Like out of nowhere. Unreal. So.
Well, here's the thing, and this—I don't know if you're going to take solace in this in any way, but you know, in life, when things happen quickly, as shocking and devastating it is for people, it's usually better if it happens fast. And you know, my hope is that, God forbid, if anything happens to me, that it goes down quickly, because you don't want anybody that you really love to go through a long suffering, you know, long struggle. So,
yeah.
You know, again, I what can I say? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I appreciate you. And I know that you've dealt with tragedy in your own life, too. I mean,
of course.
You know, a lot of people lose their parents, but yeah, I know you've dealt, too, with your brother and so much, man. But what I've seen right now is just the real thing I'm focused on. I mean, a hair loss is one thing for sure, but cancer, dude, like that thing is just, it's ever increasing as more and more time goes on. It seems like it's more prevalent. And I'm convinced it's what we're eating and all that stuff.
Well, you know what's interesting, though? I'm convinced as well. You know, people were smoking for a very long time, forever, okay? Lung cancer is on the rise more than, I mean, it's unless people are smoking. So there's got to be some sort of, you know, something going on with our environment, the food that we're putting in our body, the GMOs, the, you know, the way that conventional food is being grown, the way that conventional meat is being grown. You know, back in the 40s and 50s, lung cancer was relatively rare and people were smoking like 4 packs a day.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, I agree with you, man. I agree with
you. Yeah. So what's been a benefit of doing off like juicing and all these other stuff, I've noticed a positive difference on my hair in the past year when I started really getting on board with these things. So, like, I've been consuming less red meat, less meat in general, but still sticking to, like, low-carb, you know, things that doesn't cause inflammation in your body and everything. And I'm telling you, taking, like, them and this grapeseed extract, and really that there's this thing called, like, golden paste. I know I'm kind of going off, but
all right.
Doing all these different things with turmeric especially, man, has, like, I've noticed my hair. And then researching after the fact, like, man, does this do anything with DHT? Does this, because I didn't do it beforehand, but looking at it and everything, and it's a big, you know, inhibitor of DHT and all these other things. And I'm like, man, this is improving my health.
Just eating clean like this, it's, in my view, it is a big factor in overall hair health because, you know, there's a cascading effect. Like when you're eating things that don't agree with you on a small scale, low grade inflammation internally, it's a cascading effect. And I went through something similar to what you're talking about several years ago. I decided to start eating clean and really get in the gym and be serious about, you know, strength training and things like that. And one of the first things I did was I cut out sugar completely, reading my labels and avoiding foods that also had sugar or corn syrup or corn fructose, things like that, because it's everywhere, man. It is in all the foods that you
eat. High fructose corn syrup.
Yeah, thank you. High fructose corn syrup. And I didn't cut out meat, but what I did do is I switched to grass-fed and hormone and antibiotic-free meat, truly organic meats. And after about 4 months, I really noticed a difference in my hair. I mean, not only did I lose weight, my energy was up, but my hair was improved as well. And I'm not as strict as I was, but I'm fairly close to that. Excuse me. And my hair is better than it was 10 years ago, as far as I'm concerned.
I gotta say, I'm definitely
the diet.
I'm definitely more of I'm leaning towards more of a paleo guy type diet. You know,
that's what I'm doing.
I am, you know, and I switched over to almost 100% grass fed beef, unless I go out to say, if I end up going like Masters or something, it's hard to get a grass fed steak, and you know, their food is so good. But for the most part, I'm really staying away from, you know, conventional chicken and conventional meat, and I'm eating a lot more fruits and vegetables, actually a lot more vegetables, and I am juicing on a pretty consistent basis. And I have to say that there's no doubt it makes a huge difference. I mean, when I was – and you can see through my videos throughout the years, there were times when I was bloated, I was drinking too much, eating a lot of pizza, whatever it is, to the point where now, you know, I'm 180-something pounds. And I have abs again. I'm 52 years old, and I'm not really working out that hard. It's all diet, 100%. And I feel strong, youthful, and you can tell your eyes are clearer. And there's no doubt in my mind that my hair is reacting better and feels – at least it seems like I'm able to style it more easily. Yeah. So, Destin, I am a believer, man.
Yeah. Well, good, man. I figured this would be the platform to kind of speak, at least from my experience with it. And yeah, I was looking through just listening to the phone calls and everything. And man, I hate that people are still suffering from this. I mean, I'm wondering. I haven't been on in a while. But is Joe from Staten Island? Is he still calling in?
He stopped calling in as soon as I brought Joe Tillman on board. I think he got really jealous.
It was probably between 5 and maybe 8 episodes after I became a fixture, like a regular co-host, that he decided he'd had enough.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, Joe, he never recovered, and he seemed to be getting worse over the years. He tried to help himself by using a laser cap and a minoxidil preparation, and he ended up losing more hair going through an effluvium and freaked him out. Now, what I never understood about it is this guy lived under a hat and a bandage his entire life, so it really wouldn't change the way the world perceived him. But it threw him into a much darker place.
Yeah.
You know, poor Joe is just a guy that we were never able to help. And I wish he would call in every once in a while. But he's chosen not to. And I think that he thinks somehow that we've turned our back on him. But the truth is, you know, the phones are always open for Joe to call.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, it's just one thing that I've noticed. Like, it's interesting how your perspective changes over time. I mean, everybody's different, but at least for me, like, and I'm not one to sit here because I am thankful. I am keeping my hair. So I have, it might be a whole different story if I was really severely losing my hair.
Yeah.
And that I stopped the progression. But it seems like to me, after a certain age, like even me, I'm 30 now, but there's a lot of perception difference than I had when I was 18. I mean, it would still affect me, I'm sure, emotionally, but I there's so much more to life. There's my kid, you know, my wife, and there's so much other things going on that's more important, especially losing my mom to cancer, man. That just really puts life in perspective and just in general. And so, like, I'm sad for Joe because he's lost an entire life. Yeah, it sucks because of all the hair loss things, but, like, my heart really legitimately goes out to him because it feels like he's lost his whole life.
Well, and he did, and mine does too. But I guess what always frustrated me and continues to frustrate me about Joe is, you know, he's an older guy. He's like 4 or 5 years older than I am, I think. And, you know, he's in a position where we could have done anything for him. Okay? We could have gotten him the best hairpiece in the world. He could have gone out there. He was married. It didn't make a difference. He wasn't out there, you know, trying to get laid and socializing, whatever it is. No one's going to put their hands through his hair. He could have walked out of the house feeling good. You know, we had this guy, Dante, called in. He wears a partial hair system in the back now. He says he feels better than ever. And he's like 60 years old. You know, once you get to a certain point, you realize, okay, you know what? This is what life has given me. If I want to deal within these parameters in a healthy way, I have to figure out what's going to work for me. If a hair transplant works, great. If it's a combination of medication, a hair transplant, and a hairpiece, great. Whatever it is, nothing's going to be a perfect solution, but you got to fight if you really want it. Or, you know, I always say the best solution is just to shave your head and move on. But if you're not equipped to do that, or if you're scarred from prior hair transplants and you want to live a life, you got to figure it out.
And one of the things about Joe is that it wasn't just, you know, he could have had, you know, any hair system that he wanted. You know, Spencer could have hooked him up on that. But no amount of surgery with the best clinic, the best doctor would have made him happy, because he looked at my own transition from being almost a Norwood 7 and a repair patient. And Spencer, I think it was even on the air, Spencer asked him, would you be happy with something like what Joe Tillman has?
Oh, he said no.
He said no.
Yeah.
It's like, well, if you're – I mean, not that I have like the best head of hair or anything, but I'm about as good as a Norwood 7 can get.
I'm going to tell you that – and this is not the stroke you, Joe, but when I met you in person for the first time, I knew you had crown loss for sure. I had seen it in your images. But you look – as good in person as you do in your images and on camera. So it's not as though there's some sort of an illusion and it looks even fuller on camera. It looks exactly the same. Like right now, you don't have any much overhead light on your scalp. So it may look a little bit fuller right on the top. But for the most part, that's exactly the way that it looks. And that's a hair transplant. You are a completely bald man.
Yes.
So, you know.
And he – yeah, he didn't want anything to do with it. He's,
yeah.
No, wouldn't be happy with that. Well, it's like, well, we can't do anything for you.
Yeah.
The only answer if you want hair would be a hair system. And he wanted nothing to do with that too. So.
Yeah. So, you know, we all make our choices in life. And listen, I've suffered with depression. And like you said, I've – you know, some of it based on, you know, some tremendous tragedies in my life. And I lost my mother relatively early. I mean, I was already a grown man when I lost my dad. But, you know, dealing with my dad wasn't that easy. Let me tell you that all these years. That was tragic in itself. So yeah. And, you know, other things that have transpired over the years. And I wake up every morning and I put my fucking pants on and I'm like, all right, you know, I'm here to fight another day. That's it.
Yeah.
That's whatever it is. I got to paint my head. I paint my head. I got to – something new pops up. God forbid, I'm going to have to deal with it.
And everyone goes through this on – you know, it's a relative issue where people – I deal with people every day. Patients of hair transplantation and non-patients that are considering it. And the one constant is that a little bit of hair loss for one guy is a Norwood 37 for another guy. In other words, you know, the Joe from Staten Island in the world exist in 25-year-olds that have a little spot of recession in the hairline that's not even male pattern hair loss. And they view each issue the same as absolutely debilitating to some degree. And that's, you know, Spencer said for years that it's I forgot how you put it. It's
cancer of the spirit.
Cancer of the spirit. Yeah, I was going to say poison of the soul. But yeah, cancer of the spirit. And it is. It really is. And a lot of it comes down to, you know, our own self-image. That's influenced by the media and this, you know, perfect picture that we're supposed to present of ourselves, and you know, all kinds of other issues that go along with it. But
the bottom line is, when you start to lose your hair, you notice that you're not attracting as many women. I noticed that right away. It was probably the way that I was combing it or trying to hide the hair loss initially, and I still was wearing my hair really long when I should have cut it short. But I was, you know, and my confidence was affected. I was just fucked up over it. And, you know, listen, I've been doing – Destin, we're going on in June of 2018. This program will be 20 years old.
Oh, man.
20 years old. Almost as old as you. So you were 10 years old when I started doing this show.
Crazy.
So there's a reason for it. You know, there's a reason why it still lasts. And it's not just to make a living. It's because people need it. It doesn't matter what's being sold out there, all the bullshit that's out there online. People are so lost. And I have to tell you, you're lucky that you started Finasteride when you did at a time when there was a lot less rhetoric and a lot less
hysteria
and fear-mongering about the drug online than there is today, because you might not have been lucky enough to benefit from it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so it's, like I said, it's been wonderful. Like, Finasteride is a drug. I also use Dutasteride just one time a week because it has such a long half-life, right? Four to six weeks is the half-life. So what I do, I mean, I used to just really overload myself with Finasteride, like taking 7.5 milligrams a day. But now, Monday through Friday, I take just regular Proscar, just 5 milligrams. Then on Saturday, I take one Dutasteride pill.
That's right. I forgot Sunday, you're totally loaded up on this shit. I forgot all about that.
Oh, I was. Yeah, I was. And it was fine and everything. But then I was just like, you know what? Maybe looking at you and looking at your experience, right? Yours pretty much stabilized, and you take, if I remember right, you take a Proscar pill once every couple of days, like once every 3 days or something.
I actually take it about once a week.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And so what I've read online and the consistency is that once your DHT levels are kind of like that, it's easier to kind of maintain with even a smaller dosage. And
well,
so
it takes about 2 weeks to go back to baseline. So the way that I have done my intermittent therapy was, you know what? It was every couple of days or every 3 days for a while, then every 4 days and every 5 days. And now I just – every time I finish the program, I pop a Proscar.
Yeah.
And it's – and it's – and this way I have room to up my dosage if I need to at some point, God forbid. So, Destin, man, it's so great to hear from you. We're going to take some more calls. You should – you know, when you have time, call in more often. People need to hear your story. You are a success story on so many levels. And I'm really sorry to hear about your mom. I was sorry to hear about it when she passed. There's really nothing more I can say about that except I kind of, you know, I feel for you and I get it. I've been there myself. I lost my entire family. So that's just it's part of life. And now you have a new family, right? How old is your kid now?
Yeah, he's a year and a half.
Okay. And you had the kid on taking Dutasteride, Finasteride, and everything else, including the kitchen sink, right?
Yeah. So I think I went off of Dutasteride mainly. I kept on the Finasteride because, again, the half-life. But I think I got off Dutasteride for maybe like 2 weeks. And the thing about my kid is my wife, I'll just put it out there, my wife scares me because I was like, okay, you know, I've been on Finasteride for a long time. It might take a while for us to, you know, when we're trying to get pregnant. One and done, dude. Like, it was just and so I'm like,
really?
Okay.
Let's do this.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So I'm like a guy who's on Dutasteride and Finasteride and people are worried about sterility and all that stuff. First shot, man, done.
Wow.
And got pregnant quick. So, yeah, I've just been really fortunate. No, everyone's not like that. But, again, I've been fortunate in that sense. And my kid's healthy. He's fine.
That's great.
He's got a little thin hair and everything like I did. So I'm hoping, I'm just hoping that'll change and everything. I hope he doesn't have the same pattern loss I did. But if he does, when he gets older, he has options.
Well, let's put it this way. He's got about 18 years before he has to worry about it. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Let's hope that I'm still not on the air in 18 years. All right.
No,
man.
I hope you are on air. So.
All right, man. Well, listen, it's great hearing from you. Say hi to your wife for me. And, you know, mazel tov on your kid and on your hair. Congratulations.
Appreciate it. All right. Thank you.
All right, man. You take
care.
Thanks
for calling in.
All right.
All right. Bye.
Destin, man, that's great. 888-659-3727. Let's see who this is. Hey, you're on the air. Who's this and where are you calling from?
Hello, Spencer.
Hello.
Pardon the pun, but I want to not comb over the fact that you have abs now.
My name is
Joe from Staten Island.
My name is.
Excuse me.
My name is.
Would you like me to reiterate it?
My name is. My name is.
Have you heard it? Excuse me.
My name is. My name is.
Joe from Staten Island.
It is not Joe from Staten Island. How are you, man?
What's up, not Joe?
Abs are back. I'm back. And I'll be here as long as the abs are there.
Yeah, well,
the
thing is, I don't think he likes abs. I think he likes chicks with cranks who don't have abs.
Well, I gotta say, your voice is getting better at that. Your impersonation is getting stronger.
It probably depends on whether I'm on Bluetooth. Am I in my car? Because I'm in my car right now. It's like a little studio. It's very quiet in here. It probably depends on things. But thank you. I don't really work on it until I call you guys. How you been? How's everything going besides those abs?
You know, not bad. I can't complain, man. Life is moving along.
180 pounds you are. Is that what you said?
Yeah, I'm a little, maybe about 184, you know, something like that.
And he's like 6'1"? Are you 6'1"?
No, I'm 6 feet. I'm actually under 6 feet now. I'm about 5'11 and 3/4". I'm shrinking.
Well, you walk extremely tall, extremely.
We'll test that out when I see you again, because it's been 5 years and you're noticeably taller than me 5 years ago.
Yeah, well, I'm probably still noticeably taller than you, so
yes.
I'm just kidding. Anyway, according to your friend Furco, I'm short.
Well, everyone's short to him.
Yeah. Guy's a giant. He's like Gulliver.
Dude, you guys have no reason to complain. I mean, I don't know what it was. In high school, I was like, I swear I was 5'10". Now, like, I'm fighting to become 5'9". It's like it was a long time ago. I had a couple motorcycle accidents, and they say we shrink a little bit, but it's getting absurd. And
You don't seem short at all, actually, to me. I thought you were like about 5'10".
That's what I thought I was, yeah. And then I went and got measured one time. I think that there was something up with that the measuring unit they had. They didn't have a stick on it, and the guy probably didn't know how to read it. It was at a gym. He's like, no, you're like 5'9", man. I'm like, are you serious? It's distraughtful, you know?
Yeah. Well, listen, when I first got measured, and this wasn't too long ago, and it's like 5'11¾", I was like, what? I mean, why do I give a shit about that?
Like, did they measure your hair too, or is it?
No, they actually flattened my head.
Oh my God! I wish I was there to see them touch your head.
That'd be good. Yeah,
it's like this. It was like this chick. She just got out of Bryman. She had one of these Bryman things on. Or on our.
Did your hair go make like an audible crunch?
Don't laugh. It did actually. For the rest of the day, it looked like I had like a divot. Rest of the day, I had a divot in the middle of my scalp.
You're running out of there like Quasimodo. Don't look at me. Stop it.
I'm not an animal.
Did you see when I go to the dermatologist, they actually have to check your scalp, so I can't go there with any hairspray on. So
that's the worst.
It is or paint. So it is like I walk in there, I'm like wearing like those cataract sunglasses and a baseball cap.
And a burka.
Yeah. Crazy.
You know, I have some questions for you because, like, we used to live vicariously through, you know, probably the worst of cases, which was Joe. And I don't mean that in a bad way if he's listening. I mean, like, you know, he was depressed and always, you know, we all know Joe, if you're listeners of the show. But we never really hear advice from you. We hear, I guess we hear life anecdotes. But I guess the question I guess I should just ask it is, like, so when you're home and you're not going anywhere, say you're going to veg out all day or just hang by the pool, you still do your hair in the case of a fire or some shit? Or do you ever just relax, flick it back, no makeup, beanie or whatever? I don't know.
Yeah, no, I walk around with a baseball cap a lot. And I've actually, done some – when Joe and I were testing out some of the video – I took off my hat and I put my head down. I showed him. He was like, oh, my Lord. He goes, I cannot unsee that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Put the hat back on.
Yeah.
Joe, you're not helping him. You're not helping his psychosis.
Yeah. So, no, I mean, and this isn't funny because I told this story, and this is a true story, and I told it to a newspaper, and the person in the who wrote the article actually kind of goofed on it, and I was trying to express the seriousness and illustrate the seriousness of this issue and of my issues. When 9/11 happened, I was basically woken up by the first plane hitting the North Tower, and it was like a sonic boom. And I didn't know what the hell was going on. I looked out the window and all I saw were just like all this debris. It was like millions of pieces of paper floating through the air and smoke coming out of the tower. And then I turn on the news and we kind of see what's happening. And as I'm watching the news and by the way, Common Law was not in the apartment at the time. She was already up out shopping up on 14th Street. I see a shadow and then I see on the news a second plane coming to hit the South Tower. And then, boom, knocks me.
You saw the shadow in real life?
I saw the shadow in real life come over my building. I had the top floor of this building. I was on the 11th floor. There were two this is going to sound obnoxious – two penthouse apartments on that floor in that building. And we had half the floor. And so I saw the entire shadow of the plane, and then I saw it as it was coming in. I saw it on television. Boom! Again, it was like a sonic boom. It was kind of like when the shuttle comes in, the space shuttle. I don't know if you ever heard those, but it sounds just like that. So
yeah,
anyway,
at airplane shows they do it too. They,
yeah,
they kind of do flybys with it a little bit.
Yeah. So long story short, thrown to the ground, the whole thing. Didn't know what the fuck was going to happen. Didn't know if it, you know, I left the apartment, if I was going to be like on camera or something, if there's going to be the news there. Everyone else is running around getting their children and collecting their shit. I'm doing my fucking hair. All right. So I took a shower, fucking topped it up, you know, dummied the whole thing up. And obviously I was concerned for common law, but cell phones were down. I didn't know what to do. I'm like, you know what? I better fucking shower because I'm going to have to get out of here.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that's how serious I was about and still am, I guess. About
well, I think all of us know in hindsight that sounds pretty terrible, I'll admit, but I know that that's only because we know the magnitude of everything in hindsight. When it happened, and I could tell you, I mean, I was in California, so I can't be a test for being in New York, but I could tell you everybody was alarmed, but it was still business as usual because it was like that whole like, well, what was it? An explosion? Was it an airplane that was it a mishap? Or was it just a disaster that, you know, nobody knew that it was an organized attack until the second plane.
Well, that's the thing. But it was after the second plane that I decided, okay, this is an organized attack. I have to get the fuck out.
I'm trying to help you out, Spencer. Shut up. I'm trying to help you out here.
I got
to
get the fuck out of this building. I better look good.
But here's the thing. It's like, you know, you're saying in hindsight it sounds terrible, but I don't think it does because I remember 9/11 like it was yesterday, and I remember where I was, I remember exactly what was going on, and you know, my hair situation was different. I, you know, wasn't even remotely close to being repaired, and I was living with what I was living with every day, but I do understand exactly what Spencer is talking about, and when it's that much of an issue for you, it's not a terrible thing. It's a natural thing, actually. It's a natural thing because he had to go out, and I'm not giving you a hard time for it. I'm just saying I don't think it was a terrible thing.
Well, you know what's interesting? What the most fucked up thing is when I did finally go out, when we decided to escape, essentially I was just my hair and my hairspray was just full. It looked like tinfoil on my scalp, full of that soot. Who knows? I mean, I must have breathed in so much asbestos from that situation. Yeah. I mean, I could be dead. I could be dead in a year. I mean, I might as well just go out and buy a pack of Marlboros right now. That's how I feel about it.
Well, I should clarify.
Any
I guess
excuse,
what I'm saying
huh?
by sounding terrible. No. It's the girlfriend thing because I guess I've had worse ex-girlfriends than you guys. But if my ex-girlfriend was out on ground zero and that shit happened and then she found out I stayed in to do my hair before I left out to see about her, I would have hell to play. I might as well have been in the 9/11 towers, you know? It's
well, like, this wasn't my ex-girlfriend. This is common law. And to tell you the truth, I think she was very grateful that I did my hair because otherwise I would have just been neurotic for the entire escape situation.
In other words, you did what you had to do to cope with a situation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But by the time she got back to the apartment, she's like, you know, we lived – I'll give you the address. Now you guys can know. It's 110 Greenwich. You look it up online. You can see the building and see how close it is to the old World Trade Center. And we had the top floor. And on that block, there was a porn store. Okay. It was also a strip club down the block, which was a famous – it was
first
called –
name basis.
It was called – yeah. It was called not Honey's. What was the name of that place? It was a famous strip club. It was like old school. Like there were no lap dances, just like a bunch of tattooed, you know, hot tattooed chicks dancing on stage and you just drink. It was a great place. But anyway, so she comes. She's like, listen, the porn store is closed. I mean, you were able to buy a dildo on New Year's Eve, okay, on this place. This place never
– or so you're told.
Yeah. This place never closed. And they you know, they had their gates down. Everything was just shut. She's like, you know, maybe we should get out of here. And I'm like, yeah, you know, Rudy Giuliani is telling us to stay in our homes. And the next thing that happens is the ground starts to fucking rumble and sounds like there are – I mean, it's impossible to articulate the sound. It was almost like 1,000 helicopters right overhead. And then all I see is basically look like reverse shade of debris coming up through the windows, and everything just turned black. And that was the first tower crumbling. I thought we were dead in that very moment. And to this day, she still claims that I used her as a human shield. I just hit the ground first. She happened to fall on top of
me. Oh, man. You know, there's a time when I was I know that feeling. There's a time when your brain kind of takes over and you kind of forget about chivalry. And nowadays we have the feminists to think, you know, we don't need to do chivalry anymore.
The feminism wilts and blows away in the wind when it's time to be protected.
Now, let me tell you something. She was actually on the phone with her mother at the time. She was able to get through to her mom. And she's like, I got to go. I got to go. And hung up the phone because we didn't know what was happening. I thought maybe we were being hit. You know, we had no clue. You would never in a million years think that one of the towers was collapsing. I thought that this was the end. This was the end. That's why I don't understand when I'm fighting with her. It's like, why are you fighting with me? We almost died together.
Yeah, that'll kind of keep you together.
Jesus,
that was her way of coping. You did your hair. She fought with you, so you know.
I'm talking about later in life.
Okay.
She's still coping. You basically only have like a baseball cap as a contingency plan when you need to. Like, you know, sometimes, you know, they have a bug out bag. You ever hear that?
Yeah,
a bug out bag is?
Yeah, I have one. I have an extra.
Yeah, hair products?
I have hair. I have Duramatch, an extra cap. I have an atomizer bottle, you know, for water. So a little thing of hairspray. And one of those mini combs.
Those zombies going to eat your neck and without a full head of hair.
Dude, I may walk around. I may be naked, but my hair is going to look good.
I got a survival pack in my truck.
Yeah,
I need to add some items to it. You just made me self conscious about.
Well,
it.
I was actually out. You know, it's funny because I did take a survival pack with me that day, and part of that survival pack was my hair product. It was a blow dryer, a thing of Topic, and we were stuck on Staten Island for 2 days, and I had that shit. I got cats, and I had my hair survival pack.
It's just funny because we make fun of Joe a lot, but really, honestly, like, you're very honest and open, and I appreciate that. But there is, like, we're all so very, like, insecure about it. You know, we think in the long run, like, I'm going to need to keep this appearance up. That's who I am. And regardless of how bad the situation is, that's going to be on your mind. And you think it wouldn't be. I mean, I'm sure at some point there'll be a breaking point. Like, if, you know, someone has a, you know, like a gun to your head and stuff, you're not thinking about your hair, you know, but...
Well, part of the... You know,
that's happened.
Part of the benefit of being what I've been through and being where I am now is because I didn't cover up the bad work I had before. I mean, I was never in a position where, you know, I could go to work with a hat on. I never had those kinds of jobs. I was always in restaurants or in offices, but... Now it's like if my hair is messed up, I don't reach for a hat because I feel so much better about my hair exposed out and about than I did before. It still looks natural. It's just, I mean, I don't care if it looks thinner or thinner if I have to run outside and my hair is not brushed and it's not been washed and stuff like that. So that's the benefit to what I've been through for me, to where I don't need to have the baseball cap because I never really wore them before. I mean, I would sometimes, but it wasn't something I relied on. So it's different for me as far as like what I need. What I need is my hairspray.
I'm an emotional cripple, essentially, when it comes to my hair.
Yeah.
That's just the way that it is. I've made my entire life hair loss. My career, my world, everything that I do, it's the craziest thing. One day someone will write my life story. And maybe it'll be Joe. I don't know. And
which one?
Yeah,
and, Joe from Staten Island.
And it's a really it's a really
writer comb over of any guy I've ever known.
It's a really unique to turn the
audio book of your life by Joe from Staten Island.
That would be fucking awesome. Man.
That would be the best,
dude. It would sell. It would really sell.
My mentor, my friend and my lover.
Joe, can you do that over again? That last line, did you not hear? No, it's like he wasn't your lover. Could you take that part out?
Fuck you guys. Go at home.
Or told the way I want to tell it.
All right, guys, listen, we're going to call it a night, man. It's 7:01. But listen, always a pleasure. Not Joe from Staten Island.
Glad you called in.
Hey,
yeah.
Just two
30 seconds.
I picked up another job. It's in Encino, I don't know. I don't want to plug it in if you don't hear it, but I actually didn't pick it up. It's my friend's restaurant, but every once in a while I stop in and help out and stuff.
What kind of restaurant is it?
What is it?
It's a more casual restaurant, but they actually just got a write-up in a book. They call it Manhattan in Encino, but it's called Davenport.
Okay.
Davenport. So now right people are going to be – well, they don't know who you are, so they're not going to
– I don't really work there. I just kind of – just help him out.
You're plugging in.
It's my friend's restaurant.
You're plugging
in. Well, I wanted to tell him about it because I know how him and Common Law like to go out to eat, and you can get really nice food there for a decent price, and it's a very nice – it can be casual.
Dude's got 103 reviews on Yelp, all 5 stars.
Really?
Yeah, let's get some more. Let's get some more on
that's
this.
Pretty. Let me
smoking.
Now, let me look at the. I always look at the reviews that they don't put through on the bottom.
Oh yeah, you can do that. Yeah. Well, you know why they do that? Because sometimes businesses nearby which have bad blood.
Yeah.
Do that to you, and sometimes there are people who are just like. I don't know. They want something free, and Yelp doesn't do the best job of getting those out of there, but they do try.
All right. Well, here's the good news. Every review that didn't get through has 5 stars.
Yeah, it's a good
I've
place.
Never heard of that.
It is.
Wow.
Yeah. It's been open 4 weeks, and they're trying really hard to keep it. I mean, they have it's an open new restaurant. It's privately owned. It's my friend's restaurant, and I've gone to his barbecues and stuff, and it's amazing because it's like. Imagine going to your friend's house, you've had all this food and you know he's really great, and then he opens a restaurant and that food is in the restaurant. And you're like, that's so, like, there it is. There's your Chipino. You know, it's like amazing. And,
you know what? I'm going to go there. You know, are they open for lunch? Because
They are.
Because I do banking
Monday through Friday.
At Merrill Lynch.
Monday through Friday.
In Encino. I also,
Monday through Friday, they're open for lunch.
Wow.
Yeah,
well, you know what? Hit me up and let me know when you're working, and maybe I'll come by.
All right. Yeah, definitely will.
All right, dude.
All right, guys.
All right.
Have a good one. We'll see you next time.
All right. Take care, man. Okay. Good talking to you. Good night.
Bye.
All right, guys. Great show. Thanks so much for hanging out and tuning in. Let me give you the websites. Joe's website, which is hairtransplantmentor.com. You can contact Joe directly. You can see his journey, his struggles. And everything that he's been through as the original hair transplant mentor. The reason we have him on the program is because he does have such a unique perspective, not only being a tragic, patient,
mm-hmm.
then being a, one of the walking wounded, then being a great repair patient, but also working in the trenches of one of the best hair transplant firms in the world. And speaking to literally thousands of patients face to face. Maybe not thousands face to face, but, thousands through Skype.
No, it's actually thousands face to face.
Face to face, yeah.
Yeah, I did a lot of them. And then also the, traveling to other clinics after and
absolutely
seeing so many things in Europe and the States and just having an eyeball for it all.
Absolutely. So, check out his website. Our website's theballtruth.com for archives of this broadcast. Also, you can go to ihrs.org. We have put up basically segments just related to hair transplantation. So there's a podcast section on the new IHRS.
And I got to interrupt you and say that it looks beautiful. You have
– Thank you.
There's a refresh for the website. That I think is just fantastic. So congratulations on that. I wanted to say that publicly.
Thank you. Well, we can thank Common Law for her hard work and her good eye and, getting the right people together and, orchestrating that project. So thank you, Common Law, for everything that you do. If you're considering surgical hair restoration, if you're considering hair transplant surgery, really, I believe the IHRS is your safe place to start learning about hair transplantation and really researching your physicians. Remember, there's not a doctor out there that doesn't have an unhappy patient. However, we really do try to maintain the highest possible standards in the IHRS. And even as importantly, if not more importantly in some cases, the physicians who support the IHRS are really supporting this broadcast, supporting truth in advertising, and supporting our message of, look, surgery is a last resort. Do your due diligence. And that's a very relatively small subset of physicians who want the truth out there. So I have to give them credit, and they deserve the credit for supporting what we do for so long. We support them. They support us. And in the end, that helps out consumers. So that's IHRS.org. The American Hair Loss Association website, AmericanHairLoss.org, which is going through a transition as well soon, which is going to be great. And I'm excited about that. And Joe's YouTube channel.
Oh, yeah.
Joe's got a YouTube channel. What is it?
YouTube.com/Jotronic, Jotronic. Educational videos, hair transplant class, and next one's coming out soon. It takes me forever to make these videos, but it's coming soon, so stay tuned.
That's great. And also, guys, do me a favor. Anyone who is on Facebook and is not ashamed or embarrassed about connecting to a page about hair transplantation and hair loss. We recently put up a page for the International Alliance of Hair Restoration Surgeons. Check it out. That's Facebook, I guess, /IHRS. And like the page. You know, we're going to be putting a lot of unique content on there as well. So if you're considering surgery, that's going to be another place to get content and also to share it with people out there through social media. We're going to be putting more of an effort to get the word out through social media. I have to tell you that I have been relatively complacent with things. You know, we do a lot of work here. We get the information out to a lot of people. But now that I see the industry is really falling apart and getting scarier and worse and more dangerous than ever, I just kind of felt compelled to get out there in an even bigger way. And that's what we're doing this year. So we can certainly use your support. Download or subscribe to us on iTunes through the Guys from Queens Network. That's going to help to support us as well. Also, go to thebaldtruth.com. Sign up to subscribe. Just put your email address in there. Every time a new broadcast is put up or a clip, you will receive an email. We can use as many subscribers as we can get. We would appreciate your help in that respect as well. And I guess that's it. I think I've plugged everything.
I think you got it all. Good job.
All right, guys. Listen, until next time, be strong, God bless, and thank you so much for listening. Take care.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry for any inconvenience you may have been put to prior to the program, and I'm glad you enjoyed it. And if you could now leave by the exits at the rear, that would be splendid. Thank you. Good night.